This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Every weekday, we talk with public officials, business and education leaders, nonprofit organizations, and more about the issues of the day. As we work hard to help you stay connected with local news and information, presented by Roseburg Foot and Ankle Specialists. Now, here's Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. We're taking a break for a couple days from the back-to-school series that will resume on Monday, but a lot going on in Salem and around the state. We're going to check in with State Representative Court Boyce, who's been in Salem, now in Eugene, now going back to Salem. Court, thanks for being on today.
Hey, Kyle, thank you for having me on. And I heard you report lightning there. Fire season isn't over. I hate to hear we might have lightning this time of year, but while we're in good shape, we still have to be on our toes, as you know.
So talk about what you've been involved in the last 90 minutes or so with Forestry Summit, if you will, happening in Eugene.
Well, it was put together by Colonel Monique Despain, congressional candidate for the U.S. Congress, District 4, and she got together nine experts, me excluded, but no, I was in with a panel, and we just had a wonderful hour discussion on solutions for the fires that we're having. As you know, Kyle, we're headed for 2.6 million acres, albeit most of that was in central and eastern Oregon. The fire seasons just keep expanding, and of course, the costs do as well. And so we might be sitting at $230 million before this is over. And, you know, we mean we've got to keep knocking on the federal participants' doors so that we can get some of this money back and prepare us for the 2027 season already. But, yeah, the biggest fire damage inventory in Oregon history.
So what kinds of ideas did the group have today for managing things differently?
Well, you know, I've been involved in this for many years due to my district fires, especially in Douglas and Curry County. Coos County has been pretty fortunate the last few years not to have a catastrophic fire, which, of course, are over 100,000 acres. But the solutions are managing our forest better. When you take away increased timber harvest, you know, we have the highest quality, fastest growing timber in the world. And we're not even teaching our kids that that's a renewable resource if we manage well and protect our watersheds and stop closing our mills. And there's no way we're ever going to be able to harvest it as fast as it grows. But we also want to increase grazing. Anytime the critters, be it the cattle or deer or elk, consume the fire fuels, the grasses and brush that are the kindling for these catastrophic fires. And then just the third thing is just regular maintenance. We've got to keep up with the maintenance. I'm a tremendous proponent of protecting our roads and keeping our roads open. That's, Kyle, as you well know, that is five main things, but not a limited list, is increased timber harvest, safe ingress and egress for our firefighters, getting them in and out safely, wildlife buffers, you know, law enforcement, certainly recreation, keeping our forest roads open. But if you just did a couple hundred feet on each side of each road and did not a clear cut, but a major thinning, that would really be the first basis, in my opinion, to getting these fires. These, you know, we're not talking about 1,200 degree natural fires. We're talking about 2,000 degree wind driven nuclear fires that just cook everything, including our wildlife.
As much as you will want to talk with federal officials, a lot of the decisions for federal lands are on their end. What about state lands? What kind of input would you have with other lawmakers about what should be done with the state forests?
You know, we have a new Oregon Department of Forestry director, Casey is her name, and she was in my office at the end of the short session back in June. And, you know, I give her okay marks, but I'm watching her as she moves. She was somewhat imported here from Utah, I think it was. Anyway, I'm giving her pretty high marks right now. You know, there's a difference, a different philosophy between the Oregon Department of Forestry and the federal government. Having said that, when you look at our habitat conservation plan, where so much timber was locked, state timber was locked up. I mean, I fought that with everything I had, went to all the ODF meetings, and we lost that. That's not good for our future. And it was a 4-3 vote. So that was a hard hit. So I'm constantly lobbying our new Oregon Department of Forestry director, and I'm giving her good marks. I'm going to wait and see. But in some ways, Kyle, often the Oregon forest management system reflects too much, in my view, the direction that the federal forest timber management has gone, and I don't accept that, and most people I run with don't either.
Was there anything from the panel of folks this morning into this afternoon that stood out in particular to you?
You know, sometimes it's just simply back to basics. And Colonel Despain, she understands. You know, what's the first solution? First, put the fire out. You know, I had one guy there, and I heard a story yesterday in our Ag, Water, Land Use, outside the Natural Resources Committee, a large property owner over there that, you know, the groups that move in, sometimes it sets these giant fire management teams, firefighting teams. It takes them 3 days to set up. And the locals are going, well, wait a minute. We could have had that fire out. Well, meanwhile, we just lost, I don't want to say millions, but there are legitimate examples of that where our local contractors, and Virgil Osborne has been on this as well, very much so, where our local contractors get leapfrog and they sit there with equipment ready to go, which they were asked to essentially encourage to invest in years ago, or maybe it was just a couple of years ago, to be ready to do their part to fight the fires. So we need more. I've got a bill that's going to recognize the critical part that our local firefighters and contractors pay or contribute, and we got to get them, we got to keep them enthused, or you know, they'll sell their equipment and we'll be right back where we were.
All right, in the midst of this week, you had that meeting, but also we've got legislative days going on in Salem. Explain what the idea of legislative days is all about if somebody's not familiar with it.
You know, it's in all intents and purposes, it's mostly just a pre-election preparation. Goodness sakes, I'm on four committees now. Not very many legislators do that. My crew's saying, we can't do it, you know? And I'm saying, yeah, we can. So I just got put on early learning. It's not my most, knowledgeable cup of tea or area of expertise, but I had my first meeting yesterday. Depending on the election, I don't know if I'll be on it for 2027, the full six-month session, but I hope to be. I'm probably going to be vice chair of the Veterans Emergency Management committee. So that's my second one. I just mentioned Ag, Water, Land Use, Natural Resources, and then my Housing, Homeless. I had four meetings in 2 days. All of them were 2.5-3 hour meetings. Went well. I'm in the learning curve, and this will be my fifth session starting up, should I prevail, on November 3rd, and my team's ready to go. We just got a lot of serious work to do, and we're fully energized, Kyle.
Now, legislative days. What day did it begin?
I was there Monday, Labor Day, just so I could do good prep. I don't think there's anybody else in the building, so I was kind of patting myself on the back. Tuesday and Wednesday, and then today I'll be back. I got meetings this afternoon. I just had to hustle down to Eugene for this important panel and a round table. And, as soon as we're done here, I'll be back to Salem in 1 hour, and then tomorrow night I'm going with Senator Manning to the 25-year 2026 911 ceremony at the Courtney Place Veterans. It's just a ceremony to say, hey, we are never going to forget what happened 25 years ago on 911, and so I'm just really honored Senator Manny's a Democrat, but we get along very well, and I'm counting on him to help me on three or four of my veterans' bills that are coming up for the long session. So, yeah, I get to do that, and then Saturday I'll be at the Bannon Parade, and I don't know, I've got quite a schedule going there.
Do you feel like legislative days is a productive thing? Was it introduced when we went to having yearly sessions?
You know, when you're in the minority, you want those doors open every chance you can because of the hard work of convincing the other side that, hey, what you're doing, how you're supporting or working on this bill, here's how it impacts the people I work for in Coos Kerr and Douglas counties. It's a constant effort to close that urban-rural gap. And, you know, we don't want to open up the Capitol just for the sake of opening up because of the sheer cost that sometimes does not properly get managed. But no, it's worth the time. And I saw all of my colleagues there from Southwest Oregon, and, you know, they're fully committed, obviously. And so we're looking for a common sense revolution in Salem. And so, you know, I'm very strong for Christine Drazen, and I just see her as a tremendous leader. And yeah, it starts there. And of course, getting our South Coast team, Southwest Oregon team back to the Capitol for 27.
You mentioned the governor's race. Let's talk about that for a moment here. It's been an interesting race. It seems right now to be very close, which means it wouldn't take much to sway it one way or the other. And I know that both sides are pretty involved, working pretty feverishly at this. How do you see things going?
You know, I'm an eternal optimist, but I think reality is it is going to be extremely close. And sometimes my predictions get clouded by the quality of the candidate that Christine Drazen brings to the state of Oregon. She's not only ready, she is honest. She's a great leader, and she's getting outspent 2-1, but she has a plan. And she's going to pull, you know, the unions are strong against her. In fact, the unions are trying to get all of my firefighters throughout the state, our firefighters, unionized. And, you know, I want to do what's best for our teams, but I want to be really cautious there because they're told how to vote. They're told how to, you know, that their money's going to go to, you know, the far left candidates regardless. So despite that Christine's getting outspent substantially, her message, and, you know, we're just basically asking for 2 years. Give us 2 years to reverse the horrible public education system, to reverse the exodus of businesses leaving our state, stop the crime, and help us get good funded law enforcement in the state of Oregon. We are very optimistic, and she's a leader, and we've got some leaders in both the House and the Senate. You know, Brock Smith, if he goes to the U.S. Senate, we've got plans there. And, you know, Oregon has to be defended, and their way has not worked. The other side have been in power for so long, and we've got solutions. There's no question about that.
A number of groups that would normally be supporting the governor have kind of pulled back and remained quiet. What do you make of that?
Well, it's just reflective of the poor job that she's done. My goodness. I mean, you just look at where Oregon stands in business retention, where Oregon stands in third grade reading, where Oregon stands in the rise of crime. You know, our state is so special, and we're not teaching our youth that, and we are settling for our quality of life going down. We're not dealing with a homeless issue. In my homeless and housing committee yesterday, I had a bunch of bureaucrats get up there and suggest that 20% less on homeless since 2024. You know, not my district. Nobody believes that. There was no scientific data that verified that was accurate. So they use our taxpayer money to tell us things are getting better when we know the opposite is true.
Now, as well, though, do you feel like the fact that Oregon has not put a Republican in the governor's seat for over or four decades.
Yeah.
Do you think it could possibly happen? A lot of people have never even seen that happen.
Well, and I think that's a reasonable. Some would say it's never going to happen. Well, we want people just to get. I had a mail out that went to all the non-affiliated voters in my district, and I'm sending one out for the independent voters, and basically that says, who's more independent than the Republican Party, the conservatives? You know, even though we're moderate conservatives, we understand business. We understand traditional values. We understand how we got to this mess that our state is in. I mean, Congressman Benz put it very well. He listed 25 areas proving that Oregon is a failed state. Now, is he pessimistic that we can bring it back? No, he's optimistic. Nobody's working harder than him. That's why I'm a strong, it's not an anti the current District 4 Congresswoman position. It's just that we deserve a chance to govern. We will correct these problems. We will outwork anybody. Nobody's gonna care more. And the solutions were in the past. The solution is what we've clearly articulated to the citizens of this country. No new taxes, no sex change operations for our children paid for by the taxpayers, let alone coming in from other states. It's just, I'm the voice of reason, and I think that's starting to catch on, and I want to just do my part, of course.
If you get back into Salem, are there particular priorities that you're already working on, legislative concepts?
You know, I've got 18 bills that I'm pretty optimistic about. I've been asked to support some timber bills. Here's just one for Ed Deal asked me to help him with, and actually I'm sponsoring it, and because he's going to be gone, he lost for governor, but a very good bill, basically, if you can believe it, reflects the California approach to once timber is burned and houses are lost, doing away with so much of the bureaucracy and the red tape that basically delays rebuilding, delays recovery, that process. And so another one is, I think we should be, instead of requiring tribal timber and private timber to plant 400 trees per acre after they harvest, it should be 250, maybe 300, because after 20 years at the 400 level, they got to thin it. So it's just unnecessary. 90 trees per acre would be great for most of my district, the different landscapes that we have. So yeah, that's just two bills, but there's I've got a whole bunch of them on. Yeah.
Do you feel like the GOP can pick up some seats in the legislature this time around?
Well, if our people get out and vote, absolutely. You know, if we convince the NAV people that we have their backs, the independent voters, we have their backs, our independence is part of what they like about being independent. We don't vote as a block like the other side does. We just want to be trusted, and we'll do anything we can to earn and keep that trust. So, yeah, I think we can increase some seats. I think we'll probably do two, maybe even three. Excellent candidates out there, both on the House and Senate side, like Kyle.
A lot of back and forth between the federal level and state Secretary of States and other election officials about some of the federal direction of wanting to pull back from vote by mail. Obviously, we're already practically in this cycle. But what are your thoughts there? How do you, who is it, the federal level? Is it the state level that should be running elections in Oregon?
We're not going to do away with vote by mail under any capacity this late, and you said it very well. Down the road, there needs to be some adjustments. I like vote by mail, but and I honestly, despite that Secretary Reid is talking pretty tough, I think he's cleaned up some of the voter rolls. He's made a real effort to contact all 36 county clerks and run the best system possible. We've cleaned up the DMV. Automatic registration where 1,600 people, illegal folks, were registered to vote. Judicial Watch nationally has made a big difference here. I wish that Secretary Reid and especially Attorney General Rayfield would stop suing the federal government. It's costing the taxpayers of Oregon a ton of money. They're not winning very many. And they need to focus on building the bridge. I mean, democracy is, they got a president they don't like. Well, work with him. Figure out how to make it better for the citizens of Oregon. Lawsuits don't accomplish anything long term, as you know.
And in a state like Oregon, where you have so many rural areas, it seems like vote by mail has advantages. I mean, you think about somebody in even a more rural, well, part of your area in Curry County, where somebody might have to, if we went back to the former polling place method, somebody might have to drive a substantial distance to be able to cast their ballot. And that could pose a lot of challenges, especially for older folks or people that don't have the best transportation system.
And that's a good point. That's why, you know, I respect what the president is trying to do because of the, you know, what he claims, and I think it's got some real validity. It happened to him in 2020. You know, other than absentee ballots, there are some big time questions. I think we just need to refine that. And yeah, as far as vote by mail, 90% of the people in my district, Coos Kerr and Douglas County, they would never vote twice or, you know, do something improper or illegal. They want a system that they can rely on and trust. And so, but I have, Kyle, had several people call me and say, hey, I got two ballots. Hey, where did my ballot go? Can you, boys, can you figure this out? This is not right. My wife got a ballot or I did. I mean, we hear those stories. So don't tell me that it's the greatest system of all time. But we can refine and work with the federal administration, get the states together, stop the lawsuits, and solve this problem.
State Representative Court Boyce, live from Eugene. Thanks for being on today.
Hey, come see me in Salem, Kyle. Thank you.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This has been Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Listen every weekday afternoon at 12:30 to stay connected with what's happening in your community. Today's interview will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it with others and let them know where they can hear it. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.